beloved concelebrants, the devout clergy of our diocese, beloved monastics, deacons, and matrushki, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, faithful of the diocese, beloved delegates and observers to this assembly, friends and guests, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
It's hard to believe that this is the fifth address that I've offered at the annual assembly of the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. It's been 5 years since our clergy and faithful nominated and the Holy Synod elected a new bishop for this diocesan family. It sounds like a long time. It seems like only yesterday. 5 years is a time to reflect on what we have accomplished, what we have yet to achieve, and the challenges that lie ahead of us. Whatever has been accomplished, of course, has happened because of the grace and the blessing of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, the head of our Holy Orthodox Church, who himself has told us plainly, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." For without me you can do nothing. What work remains for us to do requires his guidance and our obedience. Our Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And as for the challenges that face us in our work, he pledges, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Our past, our present, our future must be evaluated by one common benchmark. Again from Scripture, "Let all that you do be done with love." Let all that you do be done with love. This is the theme of this address and the goal of the coming year in our diocese. Let all that you do be done with love. This has been my fifth year of visiting each of our parishes at least once per year. It has been and continues to be an incredible experience for me. In fact, the best thing about my work each week. It is my joy spending time with your children, hearing the stories of venerable founders and elders, and trying to encourage the parish council and the workers in the middle to carry the workload for the parish family. This particular year, we have had numerous parishes celebrating anniversaries, 50th, 100th, 120th anniversaries. And this year, in all our parishes, almost without exception, it seems to me that the crowds have been larger than ever for my visits. I only pray that our people come in those numbers every weekend and every feast for the Lord, not just because the bishop is visiting. I want to report briefly on the status of our missions, which our diocese established and supports. Holy Apostles' mission in Lansing is up to 25 adult members, 14 youth, 3 catechumens, 7 inquirers, and 3 college students whose home parishes are elsewhere. Pretty impressive. We have services or activities 6 days of the week. They are the recipients of the mission planting grant from the National Church for the third consecutive and final year. St. Innocent Mission in Oneonta gained 3 new families with young children this year and grew beyond and have separated from Holy Merbearers Monastery in Otigo. They are now full-time in their new renovated worship space in the city of Oneonta, with a full schedule of services and classes, reaching out to the residents there with a vital presence, about 30 people on a Sunday. Our mission station in Potsdam, New York, near the Canadian border, continues to grow. Attendance averages between 20 and 25 in their beautiful house chapel on the edge of the university campus. They're looking to purchase land for the future from the university, but in the short term, they will be needing their own priests to serve them. The priest monks from St. Silouan Monastery who care for them are finding it harder and harder to balance divine services on both sides of the border. Our challenge is to find the right priest for that mission. Our diocese is supporting these fledgling parishes with love, the love of a mother for her children, to all the priests of the New York State Deanery who have labored together to help out, and to all who have donated to the Distinguished Diocesan Benefactor Fund to realize our support, our deepest gratitude. This year we were blessed with the ordinations of Deacon Volodymyr Chekivsky to the Holy Priesthood, now attached to St. Spiridon Church in Perth Amboy, who serves as a supply priest in the New Jersey Deanery, and they keep him busy. And Subdeacon David Maliniak to the Holy Diaconate assigned to Christ the Savior Parish in Paramus. We received into the diocese with the blessing of His Beatitude Metropolitan Tikhon, Archpriest Terence Baz, now attached temporarily to St. Peter and Paul Church in Syracuse and serving as a supply priest for the New York State Deanery, and Deacon John Holoduke attached to St. John's Church in Passaic at this time. It is my great joy to announce that this semester we have five students studying in the seminary. Deacon Gregory White from Elmira in his last year, Deacon Ted Gregory from Glen Gardner in his first year, Andrew Bosch from Endicott in his first year, Paul Cabanazzi from Elmira in his first year, and Velko Piovich from Annunciation Parish in Brick in his first year. Our diocese is providing scholarships for these men who, God willing, will one day be caring for our parishioners in our diocesan churches. We do it with love for our spiritual sons being formed and educated to one day become spiritual fathers. I want to share one of the thank you letters the diocese received from those seminarians. Just one. Quote, "No amount of words could ever capture the gratitude that my family and I have for all of you, for the generous support you have blessed me with in order for me to pursue quality theological education here at the seminary. I never dreamt that I would receive so many great blessings when my heart decided to follow the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am unworthy to be a servant of God, but God, through the support of persons like you, is renewing and molding and building me to bring about my contribution to our Holy Church in whatever way He will choose for me. I would in no way ever be able to pursue seminary studies without this great kindness and incredible generosity the diocese has provided me. I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for what you are doing for me. My family too sends their love, greetings, and utmost gratitude to you. I do not know how to thank you enough in words, but be assured that you will always be in my humble prayers and in my heart. I am sure more than these words can say, it is my life, God willing, in His service, there will be a benefiting expression of my heartfelt gratitude to all of you. I'm sure that you will agree that this is a beautiful note of thanks for the support that we give out of love. Our diocese needs these young men to become prepared to serve in Christ's vineyard. We have clergy at or nearing retirement age. They have a life left to enjoy. We have clergy who are courageously serving with health issues. Thank God for that courage. And this past year we suffered the painful loss of our beloved priest, the ever-to-be-remembered Father John Bohus, called to the altar of the high priest himself in the prime of his life. Too soon for his beloved Matushka Joanna and her family, too soon for the parishes and the faithful he had been serving, too soon for the bishop who ordained him. While the Lord reassures us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, yet shall he live. We feel the pain of his passing because we love Father John. And because love is stronger than death, we always will. Eternal will be his memory. 3,000 years ago, the wise King Solomon spoke these words from the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our diocese continues to make every possible effort to help ensure that the youth of our church will be firmly rooted in our faith. While they are still in school amidst the pressures of their peers, in preparation for when they go off to college where they will face a philosophy, a schedule, and a lifestyle far different from the Orthodox way of life, and as they look to marry and raise their own families so that they might stay in the fold of the church and assume their rightful place as leaders of our parishes. To assist our church school programs this past year, once again, three teachers' conferences were held this year on leading our children to the experience of God. And they were well attended. This year's guest speaker was Sylvia Leontarites, a well-known author and speaker whose morning session was on teaching our children to pray. In the afternoon, there were lessons taught by our music teachers on helping church school children to learn the hymns of our church. Our thanks to Matushka Andrea Diamantis, Chair of the Department of Christian Education. The Department of Youth Ministry continues to sponsor diocesan-wide events for our young people. In February, the annual altar service retreat brought together nearly 50 young men. In the winter, the New York State Deanery hosted the annual encounter at Greek Peak, drawing 110 participants. In Lent, Holy Resurrection Church in Wayne hosted the annual Lenten retreat for our students. And in August, the annual Orthodox Youth Day at Six Flags drew more than 80 young people, not including chaperones and clergy. And this weekend, the diocese will sponsor a first-ever girls' retreat at St. Basil's Academy in Garrison, New York. Enrollment is 35 middle and high school girls, and I hope it can still grow. Our thanks to Father Jason Vansuch and Father James Worthington, co-chairman of the Department of Youth Ministry. We are putting a lot of effort into building up OCF chapters and providing activities for the college students in our diocese. Father John Diamantis travels courageously across New York and New Jersey, promoting OCF in parishes and on college campuses. But we need much more participation from our parishes. This is not a battle we can afford to lose. At the Assembly of Bishops meeting, we were told that 60% of our people, our young people who go off to college, never return to our church. There are other studies that estimated at 80%. That's pretty scary. On the other hand, surveys show that after 5 years out of college, virtually 100% of graduates who were involved in the OCF are still active in their Orthodox parishes. I continue to appeal to each of our parish councils to assign a member the task, the ministry, of connecting their college students to a nearby parish when they go off with a ride to church and a Sunday meal and the closest OCF chapter. We have to do our share. If we don't, it's like sending our kids, our young kids, to play in traffic. This summer camping experience remains an invaluable source of linking our Orthodox children to one another and cementing them to the church. This year, as always, I spent at least 2 days a week at St. Andrew's Camp with the young people there. It was great attendance this past summer. And in addition to divine services and religious education, sports and swimming, the kids did their share of mission and evangelization. They converted the cook. Our camp chef of many years, a former Roman Catholic, asked to be chrismated at the camp. He wanted to take communion with those kids that he loves. It seems to me the major problem for our young people is the need for many of them for scholarship assistance for their camping experience. And so I'll be sending out an appeal at Christmas, requesting of those who have been blessed by God to provide the gift of a camp for a week for young people who otherwise couldn't go. Other ministries, I take this opportunity to thank Father Ken Stavrevsky, Diocesan Director of Communications, for all that he does, especially maintaining and continually updating the diocesan website. No other diocese has its equal. News releases, DDB donation tracking, prayer requests, diocesan family news circulated to our clergy several times a week. He works tirelessly and very efficiently, a genuine labor of love. All that he asks for is keep the hits coming. I urge every parish who doesn't have a website to make building a website a priority this year. And every parish who has one but doesn't have a prominent connection to our diocesan site to please set up one. Our Commission on Liturgical Music continues to hold workshops for church musicians and now particularly for children throughout the diocese. Co-chaired by Father Daniel Squier, Matushka Doreen Bartholomew, and Carol Wetmore, the Commission continues to publish much-needed resources of liturgical music and the Order of Divine Services on our website. And two of this year's first ever recipients of the OCA St. Romanus Award are from our diocese, Father Sergei Glagolov and Professor Walter Szymanski. Incredible sacrifices of love. This year, Jacobus Well editor John Shimchick published another great issue commemorating the 30th anniversary of the repose of Father Alexander Schmemann. Among the reviews, quote, "I want to congratulate you on your latest issue of Jacobus Well. I read the entire edition cover to cover starting at 4 a.m. this morning. It captured the essence of Father Alexander's vision for parish life and our personal life in Christ, making it relevant and meaningful for us today. This new edition is a must-read. We need to think how to extend this message to other dioceses and Orthodox jurisdictions. I think we could label it a wake-up call. The Journal is one of the best Orthodox magazines in publication, balancing information on local parish life, personalities, yet dealing with solid theological themes. It's engaging and can be understood. Father John Shimchick should be commended for his fine work, for his labor of love." Diana Pasca is our diocesan representative on the OCA's Department of Christian Service and Humanitarian Aid. Her report is in your packet on the website. She's looking for parishes and parishioners to partner with this department in order to make the gospel we hear on the Sunday of the Last Judgment come to life. "Whatever you did for one of the least of my brethren, you did it for me." Let's do that with love. In that vein, on the basis of the appeal begun at last year's assembly, which you and your delegates took home and shared in your churches, our diocese raised nearly $30,000 for the Bethany School for Girls in Jerusalem. Sister Martha and the nuns and all the children, especially the orphans, thank all of you for your generous gifts of love toward their needs. This past summer, as in years past, the diocese held three parish council conferences, this year featuring practical counsel from Father John Reeves on revitalizing our parishes. We received very positive feedback on these conferences, and we've invited the chair of the OCA's Department of Evangelization, Father John Parker, here today, to offer us ways to follow through on the recommendations offered by Father Reeves. Still, some parishes don't think they are supposed to be at these parish council conferences, or they think sending one person is enough. It's not. We need as many hands on deck as possible, helping to regrow our parishes, reaching out with the gift of Christ to those who are our parish members but don't come to church regularly, those who have strayed away from the church, those who are seeking the fullness of orthodoxy, and those who have no church out of love for Christ and for them. Our priests and deacons, since 2013, are required to attend 20 hours of continuing clergy education every year. As a diocese, we provide as many of these hours as we can at as low a cost as possible. The two-day annual Diocesan Clergy Conference held each September is one such offering. Our clergy can also accumulate these hours by attending symposia at the seminaries or through their secular employment if they hold jobs outside the church. Our parishes need to support their priests and deacons in pursuing these continuing education opportunities, both by allowing them the time to be away from the office to attend continuing education classes and providing the funds needed for travel and registration for these events. New sexual misconduct prevention guidelines have been adopted by the Holy Synod of Bishops of the Orthodox Church in America in March of 2014 and updated in July of 2014. These guidelines now require level 3 background checks on all clergy, bishops, priests, and deacons, lesser orders, subdeacons and readers, and youth volunteers once every 3 years. Those are required. Level 2 checks are recommended for parish council members and paid employees once every 3 years. And level 1 checks are required of level 3 and level 2 positions plus other leadership roles, including choir directors, greeters, catechists, altar servers, anyone who has in any way contact with young people. We're going to pass out a copy of that statement. And I'm directing that all parishes who have not yet complied with these guidelines to try to do so between Theophany and the first day of Great Lent so that our diocese can be fully compliant. Additionally, every parish is reminded to send to the diocesan chancery the following minutes of their annual parish meeting, all parish financial reports, a letter from the rector listing elected parish council members and requesting the bishop's blessing for their installation, forthcoming parish clergy compensation profile, a tool for you to evaluate how your support of your priest compares with the minimum levels set forth in the clergy compensation guidelines issued a year ago, and forthcoming a request for mailing and email address lists of our parishioners for the National OCA and for the diocese for communication purposes. I urge, and I stress this, it's not for the assessment. It's not for the assessment. We require this reporting so that the bishop and the chancellor, the deans, can maintain an awareness of the life of each particular parish in our diocesan family, to recognize your successes and try to share what works for you with other parishes across the diocese, and to strengthen you in areas where your parish may be struggling. We never could have had the success of Operation Buffalo if no one had ever shared with the diocese the need for such renovations. I take this opportunity to thank all of you who have made all of the ministries and programs of our diocese possible. To our clergy for their tireless labors in the trenches, fighting for the salvation of the souls entrusted to their care against the forces of the evil one. I love all our priests. Each of them has his own gift and talents. It's my privilege and joy to stand at the altar with them when I visit their parishes. To all our parish council officers who faithfully take upon themselves the sacred task of being leaders in our parishes, helping their spiritual father lead others on the journey to the kingdom of heaven. To all our faithful across the diocese, for all that they do in Christ's name out of love for their parish church and for the diocese, especially by their contributions to the DDB fund, which has raised so far $465,000 to fund the ministries of our diocese to the glory of God. I say thank you. I wish to personally acknowledge the incomparable efforts of a number of individuals. First and foremost, our Chancellor, Archpriest Joseph Liquar, who serves as my mentor and chief advisor. The greatest gift my predecessor gave me was Father Joseph as diocesan chancellor. Our deans, Father Alexei Carlgood of New York State, Father Vyacheslav Krawczuk of New York City, Father Gary Breton of New Jersey, and Father David Vernack, Associate Dean of New Jersey, for their wise counsel and their labors in the parishes, the deaneries, and the diocese. Our diocesan treasurer, Matushka Mary Breton, for her countless hours of work, her expertise that she shares, and the love with which she serves. To diocesan secretary, Stephanie Burke, who can't be here, for her invaluable labors assisting Father Joseph and Matushka Mary. The council presbyters, for their invaluable advice and groundbreaking work. The diocesan council, who meets every month and works in between assemblies to carry out the work of the church. To all those people who come from their busy schedules, my gratitude. To the chairman of various ministries of the diocese who just carry on their work without me micromanaging them. They do it flawlessly, seamlessly. I'm grateful. To the secretary, to the bishop, Father David Cowan, for all his work known only to God. And to the subdeacons, Mark Fedoroff and Nihilus Klingel, without whom the bishop would never get across the breadth of the diocese to every parish at least once a year. To all of you, my gratitude. Without all of you, the bishop could in no way do the job that needs to be done. These past 5 years have indeed seen some great successes, but not everything has fully succeeded. There is much work remaining to do, and there are many challenges and indeed some obstacles. In my first address to the diocese, I issued each of us a 5-year challenge. Bring one new person to church each one reach one, each one touch one. As we move into that fifth year, let's ask ourselves, have I fulfilled that challenge? Have my parishioners fulfilled that challenge? If the answer is no, then it is time to renew our resolve, to reflect on the people in our circles, in our offices or classes or apartment buildings, our own families, who have no church family to which they belong right now. It's time to tell the story in our circles of the wonderful things our Lord and our church are doing in our lives. It is time to invite them to Vespers, to Bible study, to the Christmas choir concert, to show them the beauty and warmth of your spiritual home, a home where you receive and where you give love. In the name of the Lord. Obviously, our census continues to decline in a majority of parishes. This necessitates continued efforts at evangelization. Not because we want bigger numbers in the census, but because we want more people in our parishes. We want our churches to be filled the way they were once upon a time, not so very long ago. We want to bring as many people as we can on our watch to Christ. That's the final and greatest reason. This means work. And not just on the priest's part, but on all our parts. St. Tikhon of Moscow, who was the first Archbishop of New York, tells us, the spreading of faith in Christ must be for each one of us a familiar, customary, and precious task. Every member of the church must actively participate in it, some through personal effort of evangelical preaching, some through material sacrifice and service to the needs of the saints, and some through fervent prayer to the Lord. And so we will continue to have our conferences on mission and evangelization because we love our church and we want it to grow. We also want financial stability for each of our parishes. I've always said that before we can have a strong diocese or a strong national church, we must have strong parishes. This means stewardship. Giving all that we are able to give of our time, our talents, and treasure for the extension of the kingdom of God on earth, the work of His church. To some, stewardship is a scary word. It seems to be about money, but it really isn't. It's about love. How much do I love my parish? How much do I love the Orthodox Church? How much do I love our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ? That answer dictates the level of our commitment of prayer, of service, and of giving. The answer dictates how much of my time, my talent, and my treasure I will give. Now, of course, it's a difficult time. Unemployment, bankruptcy, poverty. It's claimed that all charities had deficits in the past year, which is probably true. For skeptics, this is an argument against any good philanthropic initiatives. But we will still believe that the power of God is realized in infirmity. If God's blessing is present, this will be fulfilled to the glory of God. You know who said that? St. Alexander Hotovitsky. And when? In the year just before many of our churches were founded. Despite tough economic times. Our commitment to our parishes must equal that of the founders of our churches. We owe it to them out of love. So conferences on stewardship will continue till we reach that level of our founding fathers. And lastly, we cannot relax our efforts for our youth. They are our future. They are our hope. We need to provide programs and activities, educational classes and spiritual retreats, social gatherings and camping experiences. This requires personal commitment and funding. And even more importantly, we must provide them with our own example of being faithful Orthodox Christians for them to follow. We have to lead them on the path of salvation, not just by our words, but by our lifestyle. We need to be at the services. We need to receive the sacraments. We need to pray at home and to read the scriptures and attend adult education sessions. We need to set the example of giving of time and talent and treasure to Christ and His church. We need to know and live our faith and give that legacy to our children and grandchildren. In the words of St. John Chrysostom, this then is our task, to educate ourselves and our children in godliness. I know the demands and temptations of the world around us compete with our life in Christ and the church. We live in a secular society where God and the church and Christians are minimized, if not ignored, perhaps even opposed. And in the battle for our young people and our way of life, we seem to be losing in numbers. But I take heart. This past August, I visited Poland, Slovakia, and Ukraine. What amazed me there was the large number of young people, young parents, young children, college and high school students in the churches. Among the 27,000 pilgrims praying in Grabarka, Poland, among the students at the camping session run by the seminary in Prešov, Slovakia, among the young people in the choirs and the crowds at the installation of the new metropolitan in Kiev. When I met people with whom I could easily speak English, I asked them to what they attributed the resurgence of young people in the church. Because when I was in Eastern Europe the first time, it was all old people. The consensus was that 70 years of communism, atheism, and secularism offer them no purpose or meaning to life, no hope, no destiny. This they found in Christ and the church. So it's my hope and prayer that we in America will one day hit rock bottom in terms of secularism and begin a similar resurgence, not just of young people, but of all of us, finding the meaning for life in Christ and the church. But until that happens, we can't wait. As a diocese, all that we do, we must do in love, and we must do for love. We support youth ministries because we love our kids. We support our seminarians because they are our future pastors who are going to care for us and love us one day. We support our elders because for so many years they provided for us. We want more people in our churches, and we want financial stability for our parishes, because we love our communities. All that we do it because we love. We are in this together, the bishop, our clergy, our people, because we love the God who loves us more than we love ourselves. It is hard to believe it's already 5 years. Thank you for the privilege of serving in the Diocese of New York and New Jersey. Thank you for accepting me into the family of this diocese, its parishes, its clergy, and its faithful. Thank you for the joy of getting to know you and love you, and thank you for your love and your many kindnesses over the years. To any one of you, and to all of you, that I have hurt or upset or disappointed or failed to help in any way, I ask for your forgiveness. Of course, I ask for your prayers. Be assured of mine. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God ever love you. To the God who loves us more than we love ourselves, be all honor, glory, and worship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. To all of you, and God bless the diocese.